It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 308, entitled 1 Million Potatoes. It was recorded on Monday the 9th of September 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I'll be being joined by Cathy Zant, by Rob Cairns, and by Patricia BT. It's a WordPress podcast, so we're going to get onto that in a moment. But before then, just to say that if you are at WordCamp US over the next couple of weeks in Portland, please give me a tap on the shoulder and come and say hi. I would really love to speak with as many of you as I possibly can. That would be really nice. It does, however, mean that the This Week in WordPress show will not be taking place for the next 2 weeks. So we'll be back as soon as WordCamp US is over. But what have we got for you today? Well, loads of WordPressy stuff. What's in the roadmap for WordPress 6.7? We talk about an article which describes how the WordPress design system is going to be advanced. We also get into a new show that I'm doing with Joe Dolson all about accessibility. What's that about? How often is it happening and where can you find it? We also talk about Tammy Lister's article in which she talks about sponsored contributions and what she's made of the last couple of years doing that. Learn.wordpress.org featured on a podcast with me, Jonathan Bossinger, got together with me and we had a chat all about the new experiences over there. Patricia talks about GatherPress, an exciting project natively in WordPress to possibly remove meetup.com. Yoast have got some new SEO features combining AI with SEO, and there's a whole lot of conversation about Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and, well, yes, potatoes. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. And by Memberful. Building a membership website? Check out Memberful. Memberful allows you to easily add gated content, private member spaces, payment collection, and more to your WordPress website. Get started for free at memberful.com/WPBuilds. That's memberful.com/WPBuilds. Hello, 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 hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and all the other good mornings and good afternoons, depending on where you are in the world, I guess. But it's This Week in WordPress, episode number 308. If you're watching this live, you can see that there are some nice people surrounding me, which is always a pleasure. And we'll get to the introductions for those in a moment. Just a couple of boring bits of housekeeping, I'm afraid, before we start that. If you are watching this and you happen to be watching it in the Facebook group or somewhere like Facebook or Twitter, that's great. You know, you can consume it there. But if you want to make any comments or join in the conversation that we often have, you can't do it over there. All these platforms are kind of closing down and circling the wagons a little bit and making it so that services like the video platform that we've got can't get access to that. So the best thing to do, realistically, would be to go to this URL. There it is, wpbuilds.com/live. Once more, wpbuilds.com/live. What we've done there is just copy and pasted the YouTube chat in. So you need to be logged into a Google account and you can start to add your comments in, which would be nice. Alternatively, if you look inside the little player itself, you can find at the top right-hand corner of the player, I think it says live chat. It's in like a little black rectangle, like a button. And if you click into there, you don't have to be logged into anything. You just type in your name and our video platform will take care of that. So wpbuilds.com/live. Please drop us in a comment. That would be really, really nice. I think that's it in terms of the housekeeping. I don't have anything much to say apart from that. So let's get on with the introductions. Over there, it's Kathy, Kathy Zant. How are you doing, Kathy?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Really nice to have you with us once more. It wasn't that long ago that you were on previously, so I'm really appreciative of your time, because it's not crazy early in the morning for you, I don't think, but it's still fairly early on a Monday morning.
With everything I got to do in the morning, I got to see like Orion's Belt and Sirius. Like, I was walking the dogs, it was dark.
Every cloud has a silver lining. Yeah, where I am in the UK, we're really far north in the UK. We're the middle of Canada, far north, which is crazy, right? Because we have the Gulf Stream, it heats it up, but we're really far north. So in the summer, the evenings are really, really long. And we're at that moment now where it's just plummeting. So at about 7 o'clock at the moment, 7:30, something like that, it's dark or getting dark. And by the middle of winter, it'll be like 3:30, something like that. So I am, like you, enjoying the stars. I can see them all in the evening, which is really apropos of absolutely nothing. So let's give the proper bio for Kathy. Kathy is the Director of Content and Community at Motivations AI. That's plural, Motivations AI. The creator of Motivation Code. Motivation Code is an assessment that explains who you are, what motivates us, and how to live a more fulfilling life tied to our individual motivation dimensions. She's passionate about WordPress. She's also passionate about your stories and believes everyone's voice deserves to be heard. What a pivot, I've got to say. What an interesting pivot you have done. And I think so. I think that's great. Honestly, that your little bio aligns with so much that goes on in my head at the moment. I won't go into that, but I just think that project sounds really, truly interesting. Yeah.
It is. I get to talk a lot about, you know, just how we really, what Motivation Code does, I think, is it helps us understand each other better. So we can communicate better, much better than what's coming out of my mouth right now. But when you understand who you're talking to, it's much easier to communicate with people, understand their perspectives. And so it's, yeah, it's an interesting pivot, but it's right along my motivational dimension. So it's been a lot of fun.
I have this impression that quite often in my life, at least anyway, my own motivation, or at least what I thought my motivations were that would satisfy me, weren't actually in line with what I really was motivated by, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
Like I thought this goal would be the thing that would make me happy, in air quotes, whatever that is. But very often I'd get caught up after chasing that dream for a little while. You know, 2 years down the road, you're like, actually gather a great deal of happiness from that. And then you go on that introspective journey, don't you? And you try to figure out, what do I really like? And only you can do that, I guess.
Well, one of the interesting things when I was cleaning Hacked Sites, in retrospect, after taking the Motivation Code assessment and understanding myself better, I understood some of the games that I did in order to keep that job interesting for me, because I would really I would go to my other coworkers and say, hey, give me the tough clients, the ones that are real difficult. If they're giving you any grief, I'm your girl. And I would take those, and I would love to take somebody from I'm going to give you a 1-star review and try to turn them into the 5-star. But I'm an influencer as one of my primary dimensions, and I like to convince people of things. And so that was like gamifying, which, you know, the take a ticket, do the job, close the ticket, boring job. I would gamify it so that it was fun for me. And retrospect, I see that's what I was doing now that I understand.
It did
better. Kind of funny.
Interesting. So motivations, plural, AI. What's the URL to drop for that?
You can go to motivationcode.com and learn all about it and read my content.
Yeah, well, hopefully, having listened to this, people will, because that's such an interesting project, and not necessarily related to this, but we know that you've got a great heritage in WordPress and are really keen and interested in it. So yeah, thank you for joining us. We're also joined down there by Rob Cairns once again. How are you doing, Rob?
Doing good, Nathan. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. So Rob is a digital marketing strategist who operates Stunning Digital Marketing, which is a digital marketing concierge service. He is also a WordPress security expert. He co-moderates the WordPress Global Product Community on LinkedIn, which is a group. Go and join it. I think, what's the number now? It was like five figures when I last met.
Yeah, it's just shy of 14,000. So
good grief.
Courtney and I are just kind of smiling at that. It's been a two-year journey pretty well.
Gosh, these things have a life of their own, don't they? And how does it go? Do you enjoy moderating those kind of things, or is it a bit of a pain in the, as it were? It
depends on the flavor of the day.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because the approach we've taken in the group is every post that goes up has to be moderated to spammers. So there's work involved, and the easiest way, honestly, is on the smartphone, not in a web browser on a PC. So
Well, thank you for doing that kind of work. It enables us to all sort of bind together, doesn't it? The WordPress community and Link. You go.
It does, very much so, and community is everything. So.
LinkedIn is not really a space that I have endeavored to put any time into. I don't quite know why. It just never was the thing for me. But a group of that size is pretty phenomenal. And I get the feeling that, you know, Facebook isn't particularly aligned to anybody's best interest apart from their own. Whereas at least I think with LinkedIn, the value proposition and what they were delivering right from the get-go was what it is, right? They weren't sort of hiding it as you can be social. It was like, you know, this is for business. And so I think maybe I'll get drawn into LinkedIn at some point, but I haven't just yet. But there you go. The WordPress Global Product Community Group. Go check it out with 14,000 other people. And last today, joining us for the first time is Patricia BT. How are you doing, Patricia?
Hi, Nathan and Robin Kitty. I'm so excited to be here for the first time. I try to be watching every week and commenting.
Well, I really appreciate it. Yeah, you do. We get comments from you every single week, I think. So, yeah, I'm really grateful to have you on. Patricia and I did a podcast episode recently, which maybe Patricia could drop in a moment. But let me do your bio properly first. So Patricia contributes to the WordPress project mostly by organizing events, local and flagship. She likes to give back to WordPress for what it allows her to accomplish on her sites, such as interaction.site. WPMondo.com, that's where you can find the podcast that I did with Patricia, or WebPresenceCare.com. She contributes to the WordPress project for about 20 hours a week. Gosh, good grief, Patricia. And is partially sponsored by Theme Isle for 5 hours a week. Patricia loves focusing on projects, on community and human relationships, and likes everything open source, which allows everyone to have their voices heard. What a nice bunch of people you are. And that's great, isn't it? Yeah, it's lovely. Honestly, I pinch myself most weeks. It's like we really are genuine. I know that everybody gets this trope out all the time, but it really is quite a nice bunch of people that hang out in the WordPress space. And it's a real privilege that I get to do things like this. It really does make my day. Monday mornings are never dull because I think, I'm going to be doing that this afternoon. So that's really nice. Well, thank you all three of you for joining us. Looks like we've got a couple of people joining the live chat. If you fancy joining the live chat, it does sort of spice up the show a little bit. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. So we've got Lawrence Ladomery, I'm imagining. And he's based in Australia. I don't know if he's there at the moment, but hi, he says. Hello. Peter Ingersoll every week drops in and gives us the weather. He's put New England in it this time. Greetings, all, he says. It's a gorgeous New England morning here in Connecticut, 14 degrees centigrade, 57 degrees Fahrenheit with clear sunny skies. Shadows are getting longer as the days get shorter. Yes. You can be thankful, though, Peter, that you don't live in Northern Europe like I do, when in the summer the days are literally, you blink and it's gone. If you live like in Northern Norway or Sweden, you don't get any sunlight at all. The sun never eclipses the horizon. You just get this faint glow. And then in the winter, and then in the other way around, in the summer, the sun never sets. It just kind of gets close to the ground and then just goes right back up again. We have very, very short days in the winter. But Courtney Robertson joining us from GoDaddy, saying hello. Nice to have you joined us. Oh, look, there you go. 14,001. That's great. He's joined the LinkedIn group. That's lovely. Okay, so what are we doing today? We're going to talk a little bit about WordPress, and let me get that little caption off first. There we go. You've seen that now. And I'm going to just do a little bit of self-promotion to begin with. Firstly, to say thank you to our kind sponsors. The WP Builds podcast, all the stuff that we do at the moment, is sponsored by GoDaddy Pro. and also by Bluehost and Omnisend and Memberful. Big thank you to those companies. Some of them have been around with us for a very long time, GoDaddy Pro in particular. But also nice long sponsorships coming out of Bluehost and Omnisend, and we've recently been joined by Memberful as well. So great big thanks to those four companies for keeping the lights on over here. A couple of other things that we're doing this week. The first one, the only one really apart from the podcast, which is coming out on a Thursday, is I'm doing a live webinar with this nice person, Alex Standiford. Alex has got a plugin. I'll just pop the URL over there. It's Siren Affiliates, it's called. You can find it at sirenaffiliates.com. And if you've got an intuition that you want to sell a product or service or thing, whatever it may be, getting affiliates on board is quite a nice way of boosting your audience with minimal effort on your part. Siren Affiliates really does add a ton of new functionality. I'm not going to explain it all now, but probably go and look at it. It genuinely does add loads more options than the stuff that you're used to. And Alex has been pretty busy over the last period. And if you've got a license, you may have seen his emails and things like that. But he's added a bunch more functionality, particularly Lifter LMS, but a whole load more stuff as well. So he's going to be joining me. You can see it down here, Thursday, the 12th of September. So this coming Thursday, 4 p.m. in the UK, 11 p.m. if you live on the eastern seaboard of the US or Canada, or 8 p.m. if you live on the Pacific side of things. And I'm sure you can figure out the hours in between. wpbuilds.com/live. We'd love to have you with us chatting about Alex's plugin. Even if you just want to know what it's all about, I'm sure I'll answer your questions. So there is that. Okay. Right. So WordPressy stuff. Here we go. Anne McCarthy, as she always does, produces like a novel's worth of content each and every week. And this week she produced something called the Roadmap to WordPress 6.7. As you can see, as I always do, if you're watching this, you can see where I've highlighted things in orange. That's basically where I'm cribbing from, or yellow, should I say. But if you're listening to this, you'll just have to listen to my paraphrase bits and pieces. It's scheduled for November the 12th, so a few months from now. We've got a new default theme and a whole bunch of other new features as well. So, for example, the ability to zoom out to compose contents with patterns, new APIs, theme registration API, and more. It says here, brings refinement to how everything connects together. And so we'll just quickly go through this. So we're going to have this brand new default theme. It looks like it's the intention is for it to be pretty much for everybody, but they say things like from simple bloggers to complex blogs and any sort of site in between. There's a picture of it there. Data views, which is the ability for you, let's say you go in to look at how many posts you've got and things like that. It's going to be possible inside the UI to now change the way it looks so that you don't have to use code to add your own columns or to remove columns or whatever it may be that you want to do with that. That's going to all be taken care of inside a core. The query loop block, so that enables you to produce, I don't know, posts and pages where you list out everything by certain categories or what have you. That is going to be customized. And it says here, whilst it's important for the block to be robust in what it can accomplish, it also needs to strike a balance to be intuitive. And so they're going to make it so that you can review the block settings to improve the context detection. So basically that's going to get a bit of a polish. And also you'll be able to zoom out to compose patterns. That's a little demo there. Media improvements. The big one is that you're going to be able to upload images directly from your iPhone with this HEIC format. High something, something, something is what it stands for. There's my knowledge. High something image compression, I'm guessing. I don't know. And so that's quite nice. And also you'll be able to add auto sizes for lazy loading images as well. And what else have I got? Loads of new APIs coming. Template registration API, preview options API, interactivity API, block bindings API, HTML API, and a load of stuff coming to add support for PHP version 8.
Nathan, HEIC, High Efficiency Image Container.
Yes. Oh, there you go. So it wasn't compression. That's neat. I thought it was just an Apple thing, because I know that all Apple phones, if you take a picture, that's what it sort of saves it to your device in. But I'm told, it might even have been you, Rob, in a comment, that if you've got an Android phone, you can choose to save it in that format.
You can.
But my Android phone by default just saves it as a JPEG, which, you know, kind of is universal absolutely everywhere. But yeah, we're going to have support in WordPress. But my understanding, because browsers don't natively support the display of HEIC images, or at least they all don't, it's going to convert it to something else. So you can upload it, WordPress will convert it to something on the back end, and then it can be displayed on your website. So boatloads of stuff coming. I don't know if any of the three of you have anything you want to cherry pick from that. If you do, just go for it. Whoever wants to speak first. I know it's always a bit weird, isn't it, when I say that, because nobody wants to go first, but somebody take the plunge while I eat some salt and vinegar crisps.
I'll punch. And while we're talking about WordPress versions, not to take away from 6.7, it's worth mentioning 6.6.2 comes out tomorrow, actually. It's got a pile of bug fixes, and I think there's a security fix or two in it, so you might want to watch for that as well.
That's tomorrow, Rob, right? Did you say?
Yeah, this is tomorrow.
Yep.
Okay.
The 10th.
Okay. And maybe it's a security patch. I confess I haven't really kept my eye on that one. I normally do, but that one.
It's mostly minor bug fixes, honestly. So.
Good to hear. Okay, thank you. Right, anybody got anything? And I'll carry on eating my crisps.
Yes. I'm so happy about the Contributor Mentorship Program, and that is synced with the release of 6.7. So we are currently in the process of meeting mentees that will participate. The call is closed. But what is nice is that a lot of mentees will learn how to contribute to different areas of the release. It could be core or the new default theme like 2025, documentation, translation, everything. So people who want to contribute and don't really know where to start because it's a huge world, you know, the world of contribution to WordPress. So they can be mentored. They will be mentored by a mentor, a group of mentors, and discover the WordPress project like that. So yeah, that's nice that when it's synced like this with a release. So
is that Patricia? Is that the first time that's happened for a specific? I mean, I know this project has been ongoing for a little while now, but is this the first time it's kind of gone through the whole iteration to get one release out, or has it happened one or two times in the past?
It's the third cohort, time it's synced with a release. But in 2023, it was in the summer, and the second cohort was last winter, so it was not synced with a release that has a new default theme. So this is the first time there is a new default theme that mentees can contribute to.
So the idea of that project is that you, as a, let's say, novice contributor, you wish to contribute, but you're not entirely sure how, or, you know, maybe you've got fears about your abilities and what have you. You're linked up with somebody else, so mentor-mentee relationship, and the idea is that they sort of shepherd you through it because they've done it before, and then in the hope, I guess, that once that relationship and that cycle has gone through, you will then become a contributor and maybe become a mentor in the future. I think I've got that right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, well, thank you for doing that. That's tremendous. Yeah, thank you. Anything else from Kathy or indeed Rob again, if you've got some?
I'll just say I'm happy to see some of the data view stuff. Things that make it easier to deal with things that are stored in the database within WP Admin, so you're not like having to go write queries and things like that. I'm happy to see those types of things to make that sort of the higher level programmatic things that people do with WordPress, bringing those into WP Admin sounds awesome.
Yeah, I am. You know, like when you sign up for a new SaaS service that's data driven, you kind of fully expect it to be able to do that, don't you? Right? Like you want to be able to present the data in your way. Like I'm not interested in that column, never will be. Make it go away. But I do want this column. Please show me that. And the fact that you can't do that in WordPress and you've got this basically very limited set of things, you know, you might have the title and the buttons that go with that, edit and publish and what have you. And then, I don't know, things like meta that go with it. It's always struck me as a little bit on the slim side, I imagine, for most people. And especially if you've got like a bespoke website with, I don't know, a custom post type and you're selling properties and you want the featured image of the property and you want to know how much that property costs and how many bathrooms it got and all that kind of stuff and the date it was published and blah, 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 blah. That stuff seems to be like de rigueur. It definitely should be in core. So it's kind of exciting to see that stuff coming. So hopefully it will lead to more database data-driven websites, you know, data-rich websites, whereas yeah. I wonder if in the past maybe WordPress hasn't been the option of choice. Yeah, cool. I agree. So that was Roadmap 6.7 from Anne McCarthy. So we'll leave that one there and we'll press on. And we'll go here. So this is something I don't really know very much about. I often like to say that I have the design skills of a potato. You know that whole thing about getting an infinite number of monkeys and putting them in front of typewriters and give them long enough and they'll produce Shakespeare? I think if you've got an infinite number of potatoes and put them near a computer and ask them to produce a nice design, they do better than me on average. So this is not my wheelhouse, really, but this is all about the advancing the WordPress design system. I think for my sanity, I'm just going to read a fair amount of it because I didn't even know that this sort of design metaphor existed, really. So it says, we're excited to introduce a long-requested initiative focused on consolidating and enhancing design system efforts across WordPress.org. The goal specifically is to bring together existing tools like WordPress/components, the new Figma library and Storybook into a unified design system reference site so that everybody can contribute back to the WordPress and extend WordPress in line with a shared design language. This means that anyone contributing to WordPress can be confident they are building consistent, accessible, and coherent experiences. This is especially important for phase three, which we're in right now, of the Gutenberg project, the admin design effort that seeks to make it straightforward for plugin authors to offer a great user experience. And then it goes on to say why this work is being done and where you can find the different bits and pieces that make this up. So the storyboard, Figma, and component libraries that I was just mentioning. But I guess this sort of speaks to the need for WordPress to be professional in the future. You know, the fact that we're competing with proprietary platforms that have got their design language probably all figured out and third-party developers can't sort of come along and say, you know what, I've got this plugin and I'm going to totally hijack it so that when I install it, it looks nothing like WordPress anymore. I don't know if that's the point. They're just sort of gently offering a bit of a carrot to say, please, plugin developers, please, theme authors, can we just sort of stick with a consistent user experience? But anyway, there it is, a nice project going forward, the idea of making WordPress kind of look unified from the .org point of view. So anybody got anything about that? And I apologize if I butchered that subject, because like I say, potatoes.
I agree with trying to make the experience consistent, but what that kind of, on one hand, but I'm going to play the other side of it, that kind of gets away from open source a little bit. I mean, the purpose of open source is to be able to do WordPress your way. So if you make it consistent, are you taking that away? I'm not so sure. So that's,
yeah, it's an interesting point. I don't get the intuition from it that it's a stick. It's more of a carrot, I think. Yeah. In that, you know, here's a bunch of resources to make it easy for you. Here's a load of components. So if you want to build out a plugin, here's a bunch of stuff ready to roll. Why not just use that rather than trying to, you know, have your own language and create your own UI or what have you. I can think of a bunch of plugins. I'm sure you can name a bunch more where, you know, you go in and it is quite jarring, not jarring in a sort of bad sense. You know, the designs can be breathtakingly beautiful, but they don't look like WordPress. And you can be kind of sort of, oh, where am I? Where's the save button? Because you're familiar with it in a certain way, shape and form. But Max, thank you, Max, for joining us. He says, much like the Apple design system, switching to Mac OS back in the day. Is Apple more of a stick? Do you get to have a choice if you put things in the Apple ecosystem? I get a feeling that your app icon has to be this exact shape. You don't get to pick whether it's square or a lozenge or whatever. It's got to have those curvy corners and, you know, you've got to use core animations and things like that. I don't know. But that's an interesting thought. But yeah, unified from over there. Michelle Frechette, hi. She says, happy Monday. That's quite nice. Happy Monday. That was a band in the UK back in the day. The title, yes.
We have a title.
We have a title. A Million Potatoes. Thank you. Appreciate that. And she says, that was done with love. So that's kind of nice. Right. Anybody else want to participate with that one? So that was the design library idea. Design showcase. What is it called? Design system. WordPress design system. If not, I will move on.
I'm not a designer, but I see so many people building like WordPress sites in Figma and then wanting it to like translate over to WordPress easily. And sometimes it just doesn't. It's like they have this vision in Figma. So I've always been like, design as close to where the front end is going to be. Like, try to design in WordPress if you can. So I'm hoping that, you know, sort of that philosophy is supported.
Yeah. Okay. Max says it was a carrot, not a stick. So are we talking about Apple there, Max? You didn't have to do it in a certain way. You could do it in your own way, but Apple had some guidelines about it. I just think it's a good idea. You know, anybody touching the WordPress project, especially if they're just designing something that's, I don't know, code, they haven't the faintest interest in design, and they can just drop in components which obey something which looks decent, up-to-date, modern, exactly like everything else. That just seems to make a lot of sense if you're not into design, but you are into writing code. So plug in theme developers, block developers now, and so on. Okay. All right. Here we go. This is, forgive me, this is sort of slightly self-promotional, and I've sort of done my self-promotional bit, but I wanted to mention this. And this is Joe Dolson's website. If you don't know Joe, it's high time that you did, frankly. And that was what this was all about. Joe is an accessibility, I'm going to say expert. I don't know whether he uses that word himself, but he's somebody in the WordPress space who is keenly focused on making the world on the internet an accessible place for everybody. And a little while ago, he and I were sitting in a restaurant out in Torino at WordCamp Europe. And we just got chatting and we said, wouldn't it be a nice idea to do some sort of live show together, you know, like we're doing now, but pick out a particular thing, just one little thing on the internet, which potentially causes people problems. And so we decided to do it. And the first show has been released. And this is Joe Dolson's website. So it's joedolson.com. And you can see here, it's called The Launch of the Accessibility Show on WP Builds. There it actually is on WP Builds. And you can see that what Joe spent about 20 minutes looking at, because we had a bit of a preamble where we just introduced the idea of the show. Joe spent about 20 minutes investigating four WordPress-built websites and just looking at how, honestly, it's such a small thing, isn't it? The mobile menu toggle. So, you know, that little hamburger icon, and you click it and you expect it to do a certain thing. How would somebody with accessibility needs who was using a keyboard or other assistive technology, how would they be able to cope with the websites that were presented? And actually, not to be controversial, but we sourced the websites from the WordPress showcase. So if you Google WordPress showcase, you'll find a beautifully designed website showing off the latest and greatest that WordPress can offer. And Joe just randomly picked a few and then tried to see how their mobile menu would work. And basically, in every case, it was a dead end. Somebody with assistive technology kind of would have had a really difficult time navigating that website. So that's what we did. We just picked apart what was problematic with those websites. And again, caveat emptor, we're not trying to like throw any dirt anywhere. It was just, you know, that was a good place to start. And then in the next show that we're going to do in a couple of weeks' time, Joe's going to show how he would do it to make your website accessible. So it was just a nice little show. If you're into accessibility, come join us. It's go to wpbuilds.com/accessibility archive. Actually, probably the best thing to do is if you go to here, you can see that there's an accessibility show archive just here. And if you click on that, you'll be able to see that there's, as of this moment, there's just one episode in the archive. So go there and then we'll add different shows as and when they are created. So I thought it was a nice little initiative and shining a bit of a nice light on the work that Joe and various other people do. Again, open to comments if anybody's got anything to say about that. Let's go, Patricia. You go first.
No, I'll put Patricia's first.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's great to have one show focused on accessibility. I have a question. It's always you and Joe, or you or Joe will have other guests, can have other guests. I'm thinking of people to send to.
I don't know. Because Joe and I had that conversation, that's how it's begun. But there's no embargo on having more people. the intention really was just to find one little thing. So mobile menu, and then it might be, oh, I don't know, it might be headings, or it might be some, you know, text on images or text metadata surrounding images, something like that. So no, there's no, I don't have any intuition. I can speak to Joe. If you've got some people that you'd like to be on that show, then yeah, send them my way, Patricia. That would be absolutely lovely. There's no constraints really. We'll just have to see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, no worries. Rob, your turn, I think.
Yeah, sorry about that, Patricia. The other thing worth mentioning is if you're really interested in accessibility, catch Nathan Show. Joe's an awesome guest. I will say that time in and time out. And also WordPress Accessibility Day is coming up on October 9th and 10th. So, and I know Joe is very involved in that as well as one of the founders of that originally. So you might want to check that out as well.
Yeah, thank you for that, Rob. Over the last few episodes, we have promoted that, so it didn't kind of make it this time around. But yeah, WP. Yeah, no, it's good. WPAccessibility.day, I think, is the URL, if memory serves. So that's great. And a couple of comments coming in. Daveden says he's always excited when he hears about accessibility. Yeah, go and benefit from Joe's experience. Hopefully, as the show builds up, there'll be more and more content, so you'll be able to find the answers to lots of different things. Only one at the moment. We didn't know what theme or what have you any of these websites were using. It was just Joe found four websites, right click, inspect, went and had a look, tried to interact as if he was using a screen reader or with the keyboard or what have you. And okay. And I'm getting a suggestion here from Max of Anne. And Bovlet, and yeah, she retweeted it, so she knows that the show is out there, so she's welcome to reach out to me. I know Anne, so yeah,
she's one of the person I was thinking to send
nice.
It.
Yeah, well, thank you, Patricia. If you want to, that would be really lovely. Kathy, anything to add, or shall we move on?
We can move on, and just kudos to you for doing it.
Honestly, it's not that difficult for me. I just click play and then just get Joe to do all of his great stuff. It's it's a piece of cake from my point of view, and quite nice to learn something as well. And there's so much in there that I do wrong, so hopefully it will improve the website as well. As an example, I'm sure that this page itself is not that great. You know, we've got a YouTube video. Hopefully that's fairly easy to do. We've got a transcript here, which I faithfully transcribed. Hopefully that's going to be of some use, but I'm not entirely sure that this. This is a detailed summary block in WordPress, so it's a bit like an accordion. Everything's hidden behind there, so I'm not entirely sure how useful that set of text is, but we'll see. Maybe Joe will give us some more details the next time around. Anyway, there we go. Frequent visitor on this show is Tammy Lister, and Tammy's got a post out this week on her binate thoughts. I pronounced that correctly. You pronounce that binate? I'm guessing I don't really know that word. Binate thoughts, and it's Tammy's summation of being a sponsored contributor. And I really just wanted to raise this just for the sake of it, really, and also just to shine a light on Tammy and everything that she's done in the past. And I'll just read the little bits that I've highlighted. It says, for the last 6 months, I've been sponsored by Automattic for 2 days a week to focus on the default theme task force. So we're seeing some of the fruits of that in WordPress 6.7, as we just saw. Wants to say thanks for that, for enabling that work to happen. The number of tickets have gone down from the default theme queue from 400 to 198. So that's obviously where a lot of the work has gone. Tammy has managed to do 103 commits, 290 closures, and 965 updates, which include comments and what have you. And here's the reflections. Overall, having a focus was incredibly rewarding, and whilst it is over, I now look to see what opportunities will be available in the next period for a similar one. She is currently self-employed, but wants to highlight how important that is. I still consider my own Five for the Future commitment as part of my work. Gosh, Tammy, that is pretty incredible. However, having additional support would allow me to focus in ways that wouldn't otherwise be possible. So really, I think what I'm trying to say here is that if you're listening to this and you have a notion that you'd like to be a Five for the Future kind of person, but you don't want to do it yourself necessarily, why not help Tammy out, really, is what I'm trying to say. Why not get in touch with Tammy? Tammy Lister You can probably find her on Twitter, LinkedIn, all these other places, or you can go to binatethoughts.com and get in touch. She has been a really valued member in the recent past, and obviously that sponsored contribution period has ended, and it would be nice to see that going, I think. What a nice person Tammy is. So that's me advertising for Tammy, I think. I don't know quite if that was what everybody expected from that article or if anybody wants to contribute. But yeah, good luck, Tammy. I hope it works out. Anybody want to add or shall we move on?
I want to say that, yes, if you are a company that is making money thanks to WordPress, and as said Nathan, not really wanting to be involved yourself to contribution, then it's perfectly fine to sponsor someone else. And that's great that Tammy posted this. I did the same like 1 month ago. And yeah, it's great to be sponsored, to allow ourselves to really work and take it a bit like a job, you know, to be focused and not having to think, okay, now I have to do something else because I need to make money on my business or stuff like that. You dedicate an amount of time because you know that you are paid for it. So
Yeah. And I think Tammy would definitely appreciate, you know, the ability to do what she has been doing and all of the different pieces continuing. That would be really great. Great. Okie doke. Right. Okay. Let's move on to the next piece then. Unless Rob or Kathy wanted to add anything. If not, I'll just crack on with this. No. Okay. So this is WP Tavern, which has been brought back, a text-based version of the Tavern, at least anyway, has been brought back from the abyss. The podcast has been going, but the text-based stuff has come back to life with Jolzner. And this one was a summation of this article, really, Black Friday Sales Statistics and Trends for 2024, which came out on WooCommerce.com. I don't know if you run a product or a service or have something that you sell into the WordPress space, but it would seem from the data that we're about to talk about that, wow, it's like the biggest thing of the year. And my experience is the same. You know, I end up sort of putting off purchasing stuff up from about now until Black Friday comes along. I'm kind of really, really reluctant to buy any tech, even if things break, because I'm thinking I could probably save a load of money in the near future. But here we go. Check these stats out. This is really interesting. So WooCommerce has unveiled its 2024 summer survey, shedding light on Cyber Monday, Black Friday. Okay. Black Friday. So here's the headline. Black Friday sales account for a major share of annual revenue. And it says here, BFCM, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, contributes to approximately 30 to 50% of yearly sales. The survey revealed that 66% of stores reported increased sales during the holiday season. In fact, for some stores, 50% of their annual revenue comes from that period. So here we go again. 46% of stores see an uptick of 30% during that time. 26% generate 30% of their revenue during that time. So that's, you know, in a couple of weeks, they're doing a third of the year. And 8% of the companies surveyed, it's 50% during that period of time. Planning is obviously a big thing. Larger stores with an annual income of 250K are 12% more likely to begin preparations early. 81% of stores actively plan. You can see the stats there. 26% of stores are looking at a month ahead, 1 to 4 weeks. 27% of stores are like 3 months away, they're planning. 13% of stores, gosh, 6 months, up to 6 months they're planning. And 4% of stores are doing this whole thing 6 months in advance. So no sooner has one ended than the planning for the next one comes along. And there's more in this, but I didn't really go into it too much more. This will be the last little point. 26% of stores plan to increase their inventory as a result of the preparation for this as well. So honestly, from the end user point of view, I get a bit carried away with Black Friday and I do buy a lot, but I don't really have an intuition as to how important it is. But that makes me think, gosh, if you really aren't planning for this, you are massively leaving money on the table. It would appear that in the last decade, our entire buying cycle has now been skewed towards this little window of time. And you'd be mad to ignore that. So I don't know if you're the same as me. You just sort of stock things up from about now and don't buy phones and don't buy computers and don't buy this, that, and the other thing. But anyway, over to you if you've got anything you want to add. Very interesting.
What I would suggest, Nathan, is first of all, for your business and you're prepping for Black Friday, you probably should have already done it by now. And if not, do it now. That's the first thing. The second thing is, interestingly enough, if we've noticed a trend lately, used to be Black Friday, we know, falls around American Thanksgiving. That's kind of the stop of the start of the Christmas shopping season. Haven't you noticed in the last couple of years, the Black Friday sales start earlier and earlier and earlier and earlier? So kind of, I've noticed like early November, sometimes end of October, people are already in that mode. So it's kind of become more a period than just a day, which is even more interesting. I don't know if anybody's noticed that trend, but just food for thought.
When I was a kid, and I'm now exceedingly old, I'm not that old, but I'm quite old. Old enough to know. We can argue about that later. But when I was a kid, nothing was on sale before Christmas. Absolutely nothing. We had this great thing called the January sales. And on January the 2nd, so everybody had January the 1st off. January the 2nd was the day that everything went on sale. And they basically were trying to push stock that they hadn't sold over the Christmas period. And then, I don't know, when I got to about, maybe 12, 15, that got moved back to Boxing Day. So that, I don't know if you use that phrase, but that's the day after Christmas Day. So
we do in January.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So all the sales started the day after Christmas, and then it kind of crept forward to before Christmas, because obviously all these platforms and companies are now competing on that as well. So it got moved forward into like the middle of December. And then honestly, like 10 years ago, somebody said to me, are you going to do anything for the Black Friday sale? And I was like, what the heck is that? That just sounds like a weird made up phrase from a Star Trek novel or something. And I'd never heard of it. And now, like you say, Rob, it's not even that day. It's like creeping into October. And I expect, given it enough time, it'll creep into, you know, it'll creep into August and September and all of these kind of months. And if we wait long enough, it'll be the January sales, but a whole year in advance. You know, it's a bit nuts.
The other thing that's changed in trends, WordPress aside, is if you look at retail, it used to be those sales after Christmas were true sales. Now they're actually bringing in special merchandise to get people to spend all the gift cards they got for Christmas. So if you ever look at those sales, like on Boxing Day, which you have in the UK and we have in Canada because of our relationship with the UK, those sales, 90% of the tech stuff that goes on sale are special SKU numbers that don't exist the rest of the year, too. So there's a lot of that going on as well. So you got to be really careful. It's not what it used to be when you and I grew up, by far.
Have you ever come across a web app called Honey? It's now owned by PayPal. Have any of you come across this? So it's like a browser extension. You put it in and you say to Honey, okay, I'm interested in this, I don't know, TV, whatever it may be, whatever thing you can find online to buy. And you say to Honey, start capturing data on whether the price goes up and the price goes down. And it's capturing that data whether you want it or not, you know. So when you go to the website and look, what's really interesting is around about now, all the prices start to creep up.
Yeah.
So that for a period of time, they're up. And then at some point, they'll drop so that the retailers can claim that it's just this like price reduction, which is not true. It's basically gone back down to the price that it was prior to being put artificially up. And in the UK, there's been a lot of moves to sort of outlaw this practice because it's not really that great, is it? If you artificially inflate the price, knowing nobody's buying right now because they're in this Black Friday cycle, then you put the price back to where it was and claim that it's dropped by, I don't know, 40% or something like that. But we're all part of it. We're all playing these games, and those stats show it, right? There's no way of escaping it. If you're a store owner, everybody's involved. We're all complicit. We're all doing it. And I bet we all have shopping carts full of stuff that we don't need on Black Friday.
A lot of online sites like Amazon and others have gone to pricing like we pay for tickets or hotel reservations, depending on the time of year, the prices fluctuate as well. So you got to be really careful of that. And they're playing that game. If a product goes into more demand in an online store, they're actually charging more for the product. They're doing that whole fluctuation game. It's ridiculous.
I find that kind of adjacent to being unethical, actually. In the UK, it was highlighted really well this last couple of weeks. I don't know if you've heard, there's a band called Oasis. Back in the sort of 90s, they were really popular, and they all fell out. The band fell apart. And then just recently, last few months, they decided to reform next year. And so they've created this tour, and they've put tickets on sale through Ticketmaster. And the politics of it, I don't care. I don't care who's done the actual selling of the tickets, whether it's a promoter or whether it's the band. But they've done this like surge pricing. So people were going onto the website to buy a ticket at £135, UK pounds, to discover that it was like it had gone up to £350, £400, £500, and in some cases, wait for it, £6,000. And I just think that's nuts. You know, it's a commodity. It should have a price, and you should be able to pay that price regardless of how many people are in a queuing system. Anyway, I think the band have done quite well out of it, so they're not complaining. But public opinion of the band has hit like a bit of an all-time low. I don't know. I think playing with things like that is a little bit of a poison chalice, really. You might make a bit of money out of it for a few years, but then when people become disgruntled by that kind of pricing and know it, see it for what it is, and I imagine Ticketmaster will take the ethical hit at some point. Anyway, we've gone completely off topic there. Kathy, anything to add about Black Friday, Cyber Monday? Patricia, same thing.
Yes. As a user point of view, I do like you. I'm waiting now for November to see if a product is going to go down. And specifically in the WordPress world, would those products not sell if there were no Black Friday for them? If they don't do Black Friday, the sales are spread over on the whole year, or would they lose sales? You know, because if I'm interested now on a product, I'm going to look in the Wayback Machine to see if they usually do a Black Friday or not. You know, for last November and November 22 and 21. So if they never do, I say okay, I can buy it now. So if you really need something, if you think of the company, would they do the same amount of sale over the whole year instead of 50% of the sales on that period, or would they sell less?
I don't really know, but I do know what you mean, because you can easily go back and look, can't you, through a simple Google search, whether a WordPress product has had a Black Friday sale. Mm-hmm. And I've got to say, from my point of view, I think it is the minority that don't do a sale. I think those that hold out and just offer the regular pricing throughout that period, I think they're in the minority, because there's such competition for every dollar at that moment. And you know also that if you don't buy it at Black Friday, you're probably not going to buy anything up till after Christmas. So that's another couple of months gone as well. I think most companies in the WordPress space are doing it. But like you said, you can do a quick Google search. But it's kind of weird. Little comment from Steve. Come in. Steve Mosby. Sorry, Steve. I'm not entirely sure how to say your surname. The new iPhone comes out later and Steve needs to replace his. Hopefully the price of the previous model will drop for Black Friday. Yeah, I mean, you can always hold out hope. If it's an iPhone, good luck. Who knows what kind of invented numbers Apple are going to come up with. And Peter's talking about that article. He's saying, I couldn't find out how many people were surveyed and how it was conducted. So, yeah, that's a good point. Obviously, the larger number of people that were surveyed, the better. However, having said all of that, I do a Black Friday listing. I do this page where I get people to throw their deals in. And every Black Friday, I delete the data of the previous ones and I don't carry any data over. And I get about 400 companies reaching out and filling out the form and telling me what their deal is. And I'll be doing that again this year. We always have it. Actually, I've got the page here somewhere. Yeah, this thing, Black Friday page. We just list out loads of stuff, and it's at wpbuilds.com/black. So it is really popular because all the companies seem to go there, fill out that page, and then we, you know, all the deals. I've got these sponsored slots at the top, if you, you know, for that kind of thing. But also the deals appear down here, and I've had none so far because I haven't promoted it. But when I do start promoting it, I'll get, yeah, 200, 300, 400 in there. So it is really popular. And typically it's somewhere around 25, 30 to 40%. Occasionally you get like a real outlier that does something bizarre, like 80%. But mostly it's kind of in the 30 to 40% range. So
yeah,
my advice would be hold off if you're buying something in the WordPress space at the moment. Wait and see. I don't want to say that, but that's what everybody does. So. There you go. Cathy, anything to add to that
before we move on? I've run Black Friday sales. I've got ideas from the product side. And I would just like to tell anybody who's listening that is managing WordPress product, this is the perfect time for you to create content that helps people understand how their product, how the product that you're selling helps people that are shopping for Black Friday sales, how it's going to help them improve their business, how it's going to help them serve their clients better, like really up your content game and be more of service to the people that you're selling to rather than just sell, and your sales will blow everybody else out of the water, guaranteed.
Can I ask you, Cathy, what did it feel like? Because it feels to me as if everybody from not quite now, but from let's say 2 or 3 weeks from now, everybody's going to be drowning. And in the content that's coming their way, so that be that, you know, emails or blog posts or what have you, it must be really hard and, I don't know, demoralizing, if that's the right word, to sort of cut through that noise. Were you talking to your existing customers or trying to get new ones as well?
Well, yeah. First of all, there's a lot of companies that'll just say, oh, well, our sale is only for new customers, and they don't take care of their existing customers, which is just ridiculous, because if somebody bought your Black Friday sale last year, they're just going to let their license expire and just get a new one, you know? So make your Black Friday sale honor the people who have stuck that out with you for the past year or two or five. So do something special for those people as well. But you also have people who are sort of in your funnels, people who are watching you, who are listening to you, who are, you know, like you guys, waiting to buy. Like, okay, I really want this license, but I'm going to wait and see what Black Friday. Talk to those people. That don't try to talk to, like, you know, 100% of all WordPress users, but the people who are watching you are watching you. And it's a perfect time for you to really solidify not just the sale, but a long-term relationship with those people by helping them not just understand the sale and, you know, how much money they're saving, but what is your product really going to do for them? It's also a great time for all of the marketers to go talk to your product teams and say, hey, you know, it's coming, Black Friday. What cool new feature can we launch right before the sale so I can talk about it as a marketer and really help people understand that this product is going to help people build sites faster, better, more secure, all of, you know, whatever your value proposition is. And really, because there are people watching, and those are the people you need to talk to.
Do you find then, and I don't know what your experience was with at your previous companies, would you sort of like hold off feature releases? Let's say you've got this exciting new feature that you want to release. Would you be asking people to actually, can we just hold off? You know, it might have been ready to ship in July. Are you sort of telling people, actually, if we just wait another couple of months, we can, you know, get it out into the market at this crowded time?
It's usually, hurry up, you guys, can we get this done and get this launched
by the time that
the sales? Okay. Yeah, so it's always like, what can we do? Or if we can't launch it by Black Friday, what can I talk about that's coming? You know, because people aren't just buying for what the product does today. They're buying a yearly license, most likely. And so they're buying for what is it going to do for me in a year? What's it going to do for me in 6 months? So as long as you have a product feature that's going to release like within the next month, working with your product team and asking them like, what's this going to really do so that you can at least talk about this is what's coming, this is what you're investing in. So that's all my advice to product marketers.
Nice. Cathy, can I jump in for a sec? I love what you just said. And one of the things you hit on was taking care of your existing customers. Because as marketers and business people, we know the cost to keep an existing customer is cheaper than the cost of acquiring a new customer. So, and the worst companies out there, the telecom companies, I don't care what anybody says, the cable companies, the cell phone companies, here's your deal. And then as a customer, you have to fight with them to stay on their gravy train. And it's like, come on, guys, like, haven't you figured this out yet? And, you know, you're speaking to the converted here. So, like, thanks for highlighting that. Appreciate it.
I had a really interesting conversation with with a company the other day, and it was really fascinating how quickly they capitulated in the face of opposition. I went to them, and I have been going to them for quite a while and saying, can you give me a better deal? And they've been saying, no. And now my renewal is up. So it's an annual subscription. My renewal is up. And I said the exact same sentence, and they're like, oh yes. Oh yeah. You know, and I managed to cut this subscription in one, like, so I'm paying whatever it is. I'm now paying a third for the exact same thing. And it was what Kathy was saying, you know, treat your existing customers. So if somebody bought a Black Friday, I know a lot of the plugins, they offer like, I don't know, the, how would you describe it? What would you call it? Where on renewal, you get the mandatory discount, 40%, 30%. And I always thought that was a good way of doing it. And sometimes their discount for renewing is better than their Black Friday deal. And I always thought that was kind of a nice moral position to be in. You know, if you as an existing customer subscribing for one more year are paying less than the people who've done the Black Friday deal, that just makes me feel pretty warm and fuzzy about the company that I'm dealing with. And in the WordPress space, that's a piece of cake to do with all of the sales technology that we've got. So there you go. If you are interested in listing your thing on the WP Builds Black Friday page, it's totally free. All the deals will start to come down here. The best place to go to is this thing. If you go to wpbuilds.com/black, and then there's a button here which says add a deal. And if you click on that, it'll open a new tab. And then there's just a form to fill out. It's got quite a few fields. Apologize about that. But, you know, I have to get a certain amount of information from you because I need to know it so that I can list it. And it, you know, so it's an image, date it starts, what category does it fall under, what it's called, what's the URL, and blah-de-blah-de-blah. So, yeah, wpbuilds.com/black. Click that add a deal thing. And there's no cost. I'll just put it up there, and then you can have the bun fight with all the other companies out there and try and get your product or service noticed during the Black Friday. Have we got any comments about that? Here we go. Rick. Hello, Rick. The moment I managed to convince a few of my bigger clients with data not to focus on Black Friday, life simply became instantly simpler for me. Nice. That's a good way of going, isn't it? And often it's kind of interesting. I get an email which drops in my inbox a few weeks before Black Friday, you know, kind of like now, from the companies who aren't doing Black Friday, just saying, look, here's a heads up, we're not doing Black Friday, just so that you know this is what we're doing. And I always thought that was quite an intelligent move as well, so that there isn't that anticipation of people. And Rick, nice to meet you. Thanks for joining us. Right, let me make that go away. Seen enough of that. Okay. What's next? Just a quick one to say, I did a podcast episode with Jonathan Bossinger this week over at the Tavern. And it was all about the learn.wordpress.org. If you haven't been there lately, it's had a real big overhaul, a lot of time, dare I say it, money, you know, money, time kind of thing, has been invested by lots of Five for the Future types things, but also by Automattic and various other entities, making those resources really credible. And Jonathan just explains what the intuition is, how they're going to make these things called learning pathways in the future, whereby instead of just having one course discrete for, like, I don't know, an hour, it's going to be broken up into component parts, and it'll be like an LMS sort of system where you can follow, you know, if you're a novice to WordPress, if you're a novice plugin developer, if you're a, you know, an advanced WordPress plugin developer, those kind of things. And so there's a lot of work going on over there. So that was all about that. And if you haven't been recently, head over to learn.wordpress.org. I'll just click that button. You'll be able to see it's got a really nice, shiny new design. And the content that's going on over there is pretty incredible. So go and check it out. And if you've got any clients that are unfamiliar with WordPress. There's tons of nice stuff on there over there that will help your clients to onboard to the WordPress experience. I don't suppose anybody's got anything to that, but I just wanted to thank Jonathan for coming on the podcast with me and showing me what it was all about. Okay. Right. Here we go. This is Patricia's moment to shine. If you are in any way connected with going to WordPress events, chances are you've got a Meetup account, meetup.com. And that's how a lot of the WordPress events are organized. You go to meetup.com and you sign up and you get your ticket and bloody, bloody, blah. But GatherPress, which is a WordPress plugin, is an alternative to meetup.com. I don't know if you want to give us your little 2-minute introduction to what GatherPress does, Patricia, and then get into the updates that have been going on over there. But over to you, Patricia.
Nope, that's okay. All right. Thank you. So yes, GatherPress, it's two things. It's the plugin itself that can be installed on any website that you have, but it's also the proposal that we published in January to have GatherPress integrated into the WordPress.org ecosystem, the network, to replace meetup.com for the local events. So this update, we were asked to give updates about the advancement of the plugin, and also about what is necessary now to go to the next step. And actually next week at the WordCamp US Contributor Day, Mike and Mervin and Steve, Steve L. Dallier and Mervin Hernandez and Mike Odery, are going to have a table at the Contributor Day. So that's really great to meet the community. They are community, you know, they are WordCamp organizers, meetup organizers. And also to meet with the Meta team, we were asked to give an update and to have to run a test independently hosted somewhere else, to have a test, to have feedbacks from current meetup organizers, and to implement the improvement and the feedback request before we can ask the Meta team to integrate it to the WordPress.org ecosystem. Because it's a lot of work to integrate it, and Meta team is a lot of work already. So that will be great. They will meet next week at the Contributor Day.
Do you get the feeling, Patricia, that this is it's kind of inching closer towards being a default as opposed to meetup.com? Because I do know quite a few people who run WordPress meetups, and there's definite gripes about meetup.com and the things that they have access to or don't access to. And I think that's part of it, isn't it? Is having access to your own data and the audience that you've created and so on. So how close is it getting? Are you getting a feeling that you're getting there, you know, that it will become some kind of default in the near future?
Yes. Actually, the proposal we posted in January was to have a pilot program. So anyway, there will be a pilot program to test it. But before the pilot program can be there, we have to run now tests somewhere else, you know. That's why if any of you is a meetup organizer, join the tests and please give us your feedback and feature requests. And when this is done, then the Meta team can and the GatherPress team can implement that for the pilot program. And when the pilot program is successful, because it will be successful, then all the new groups and maybe the old groups that want to move could be moved. So I think it's $23. Yeah, $23 a month per group in the world. So that what the WordPress community is paying to meetup.com. So the leadership, I guess, in the community team is eager to see that going forward. And actually, I joined the GatherPress team last year, but it's a project that is already a few years, you know. And yeah,
how would you, if you're a WordPress meetup organizer, how would you successfully run a test? Because if you're relying on Meetup, then you've got to use Meetup. So yeah. How do you run a test? Like how do you decide? You know, because you've got to jump to GatherPress for one event, right? And then back into Meetup. How does it work?
You have to use Meetup for now.
Okay.
The official way is Meetup, but you can join the test and create a dummy event and ask people to play the attendees. So there is a link. If you are a member at the bottom of the of your page, that if you are a member of the community, no, it's not there. There is somewhere join the test and give us your feedback.
Is it this one?
The second one. Second bullet point.
This one. Here. This one?
Yes. If you are a Meetup organizer, you can come and test on our, it's a multi-site where every group has their own Meetup group, you know, which we have to find a new name because Meetup is, would be replaced. And how easy it is to use, what feature they would like to see and stuff like that, and give us their feedback. And when that is done, the real pilot program could start with the help of the Meta team.
Okay. And pilot program, you're meaning where you actually use it to sort the events out and you're not using meetup.com mm-hmm. anymore, right?
Yes, or you can run in parallel in the the time of the pilot program, you know. But the pilot program, the thing is that it has to be integrated on the .org network, means for the user account.
Got it.
So people sign in with their WordPress.org account. So this is the part that needs to be integrated, and that will be done only after we have enough feedback and implement the features that are necessary and asked by the community team.
So Courtney's saying that there's a table at WordCamp US. Yep, thank you. Yeah. We mentioned that. So if you are heading to WordCamp US in like a week, ish.
Yes.
Good grief. What the heck? It was ages. It was really far into the future and now it's suddenly a week away. Okay. So if you're going to contribute today and you're not quite sure where your endeavors may lie, that could be a good one. If you're into creating WordPress events or just want to give some feedback, GatherPress looks very interesting, says Lawrence. Do you run events, Lawrence? And if so, do you use meetup.com or are you doing it all by yourself? And Courtney, again, I'm so excited about GatherPress because it could help us better track contributions to WordPress among camps, meetups, do action, and other kinds of events. Nice.
The thing is that the data now is on meetup.com, and there is nothing we can do, and we can ask maybe a feature or two to meetup.com, but it's not ours, you know.
Yeah.
Then on WordPress.org, everything is possible. You know, you can add whatever the community needs. You know,
yeah.
So this is one of the thing, and data privacy and stuff like that. You know, if you are not going to WordCamp US, you can still join an hybrid event. Means Mike from the GatherPress team will be at Contributor Day, but we'll also start a Zoom call where anyone can join. So you can join and contribute to GatherPress even from anywhere in the world. So
nice.
You can see that somewhere in the post. we talk about, go down. When we talk about the Contributor Day, WordCamp US.
Here. Remotely, this one here. You can even join us remotely via a video called during Contributor Day if you do not attend. Okay, so it's not like a after the event. This is actually joining into the table live. Neat!
Yes. Yes.
Hopefully you're wrangling all of the attendees for that using GatherPress.
Yes.
That's great. And
you can register for that.
Oh, that's lovely. That's great. Honestly, I think this is, you know, nobody thinks that it was a bad decision. I don't think at the time Meetup was probably the right way to go back in the day when we were scrabbling around for a solution. But it does feel now as if we've got some kind of capture on Meetup, and I think a lot of people would like to be able to know that they're in control of that data and be able to do things with that data, especially if you're running an event which, although it might not be a WordPress.org event, is something to do with WordPress, and you want to be able to do that inside of your WordPress install. Just replying to my question, Lawrence said, I asked him if he was running an event, and he said, no, not yet, but he's looking to run some online, and it would be able to help you with that. Nice.
Yeah. In the past, for sure, Meetup helped a lot to discover. But nowadays, a lot of people know about an event because it's in their dashboard. So that would be the same.
Yep.
And because organizers promote on social media, and less and less and less coming from Meetup because they are there for other things, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah. 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 It's a good point. I think a lot of people rely on Meetup because you do get that kind of organic thing. If you are browsing around on Meetup, is a bit like YouTube surfaces the next useful video for you to watch. Meetup does surface the next useful event for you to attend. And I've actually been captured by quite a few events that Meetup sent my way, and I didn't even know they existed. There's all sorts going on in the UK and kind of really interesting to see. And it'd be interesting, you know, that it'll be a shame when that goes, because I think the one that I attend, the WordPress London Meetup, I think there's quite a lot of people that hear about that event through meetup.com, just browsing and, you know, some kind of thing in the bottom of an email they received with their tickets for a different event. So it'd be interesting to see how this project goes. Anyway, there you go. That's some updates. Thank you, Patricia. And obviously, you can probably see here that Patricia was the person that wrote this. It came out on the 5th of September, and it's called Update About the GatherPress Project on make.wordpress.org.
Thank you for mentioning
this. Oh, no, of course, yeah. That was a bit of a back and forward between me and Patricia. So, Kathy, Rob, anything you want to say before we move on?
Nope. I think it's great. I think it's awesome that we're getting off of Meetup. They've had some issues over the past, and I think, you know, and then Courtney mentioned also in the comments about how it's so great that we're going to be able to get some analytics about what's going on. I think it's good all the way around. So thank you. Nice.
Yeah, I agree. Just very quickly, sorry, Patricia, that's kind of obliterated your face, hasn't it? Let me make it like that. There we go. So Lawrence, again, in reply to what I said, he says, yeah, I was looking at a Meetup or to build something crude himself. GatherPress looks like exactly what I need. Yeah, it's got a roadmap, as you've just heard. So go and check it out. You never know, Lawrence, you might have useful feedback for the team.
So Lawrence, if you want to join the tests, you have two possibilities. Either you install the plugin on your own site and you test it there, or you can test in the playground. Or if you are planning to start an official Meetup group, you can join the tests on our test site, the demo site. So as you want. And we are welcoming your feedback.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Thank you. So yeah, there you go, GatherPress. Really interesting project, and is tackling from the WordPress side the whole organization of those events from the WordPress side. Great, have it all in-house. That'll be really nice. Okay, we often have people from Yoast on this show, particularly Taco. And Yoast have released something new, and it's always nice to feature what they do. And it's called, well, I'll just read it to you. This is a PR release. So, you know, it's got lots of sort of fairly superlative language. So I've cut a bit of that out. But they've got a new SEO AI powered feature. And it says Yoast AI Optimized, designed to make SEO tasks easier for small businesses, freelancers, and so on. AI Optimize harnesses the power of AI to enhance users' content and ensure it's search engine friendly, all to improve rankings. After drafting website copy and content, users often face the tedious challenge of manually optimizing for SEO. Simply having content doesn't guarantee it will be found and rank well, but Yoast's new Optimize AI, or AI Optimize, simplifies the process, removing complexity. And it sounds like it's kind of like a one-click solution. Yeah, here we go. With just a click of the Sparkle icon, users can improve their site's SEO performance thanks to AI-powered suggestions that are tailored to enhance effectiveness of their content. I'm going to take that on trust. I think Yoast is a company that have probably earned a bunch of trust. You know, they've been around forever and have a really fantastic product with lots of paid users. So if you are a subscriber, it should be out by now. It's only, I think, for Yoast SEO Premium customers. And if you've booted yourself up to version 23.2, then you should have that. I don't know. I'm sort of caught. I'm still at the stage where I would click that button and then read everything that it's created. I don't know if you've kind of like thrown in your lot with the AI overlords and have said, yep, you just crack on and do it. But I'm still, no, read every word. And I'm glad I do, because more or less everything that AI creates is kind of like 90% at best, with the odd like total calamity in there. But obviously, you know, SEO, Yoast know what SEO is all about. There's probably some key things that they fed into their AI generation engine, which make that a little bit easier. So go check it out. Go and click update. Looks like if you're a paid subscriber, you've got it. And if you're not a paid subscriber, I presume you'll have to subscribe to get it. Yeah. Okay. Anything on that? Or should we crack on? We've got just a couple more to finish.
Crack on.
Okay. Let's do it. Again, this is just another thing. Katie Keith is often on this show. And because she is, I think it's nice to a bit of quid pro quo. They have released version 4 of their product tables plugin. And I just wanted to mention that if you are, I'm presuming they're going to have a Black Friday sale, but if you are in the market for displaying your WooCommerce products in a table with like a million and one different customization options, then check it out, barn2plugins.com. And this is their product table and they've reached version 4. So that's really all I'm going to say about that. Go and check it out. Katie always writes an interesting article, if memory serves, all about the finances that they go through. And I think Black Friday might play an integral part of that. So very open and honest about it. Right, what have we got? Patricia, did you pop this one in? I think you did. This is Justin Tadlock's WordPress 6.7 registering blocks template. It's a fairly technical piece. Was there anything you wanted to particularly say about this?
Actually, you asked us to add something, and I find this one really interesting. I'm not a developer, but collaborating with the GatherPress team allowed me to be a little more like oriented in that direction, and to see that a plugin will be able to register block templates. It means you can come with your own plugin and have those registered and ready to go with your, for example, a custom post type that your plugin is creating. I do not have more technical feedback for that, but I just saw that some of the devs whom I know are very happy about it.
Yeah.
I wanted you all to discuss.
Yeah, that's true. There was a bunch of people. Again, this is, like you say, it's a bit above my pay grade, to be honest. But there was a few people whose pay grade this is definitely in line with. And they were very, very, very excited about this. And I'm yet to kind of understand why it is so exciting. But if you're a developer, apparently this is very exciting. So go and check it out. Anything that Justin writes is probably of fairly exciting for me, at least anyway. But yeah, there was a lot of people that got very excited. A lot of people get excited when they go here. This is appsumo.com. People tend to go here and then lose the rest of the day buying SaaS apps that they don't need. And here's another one. I'm not suggesting you don't need this, but I did spy. It's been a while since there's been a WordPressy one, but I noticed this the other day. This is called Gutenkit. It's from a company that I've heard of before. If I just click on this, I think it'll take us to their website. I think it's WP Met, I think is there. Yeah, there you go, WP Met. And it's a suite of blocks. You know, it's the usual stuff. It's the kind of thing that Cadence and Stackable and all those other things do. They've got template libraries and a whole load of blocks. But I just thought I'd mention it. If you want to give it a try, it is $59. What do you get for that? I think it's probably one. Yeah, it looks like you get 3 sites for $59, 10 sites for $119, and then unlimited sites for $199. But in AppSumo's favor, they've got this cast iron 60-day money-back guarantee, and they genuinely don't quibble. If you click the, you know, I want my money back, you'll get it back without any questions asked. So if this is your thing, you know, go and check it out. AppSumo.com, and it's called Gutenkit. What is there to say? This is like the new land rush, isn't it? In the WordPress space, how many blocks can you fit into a suite? And in here, it looks like a lot. But there you go. And that's it, I think. Have I got one more? Oh, yeah. I just want a hat tip to Matthias Pfeffele for joining me on a podcast the other day. We talked about ActivityPub. If you're like me and you enjoy the Fediverse, Mastodon, all those kind of things, then listen to this because it's going to be really, really interesting what's happening in the future. If you want to bind your WordPress website to a social network so that when people comment on a post that you create, those posts can be commented on Mastodon, And then they'll go into your comments. And if you reply, it'll appear in your comments, but it'll also go into Mastodon. And so it'll look like a native thread in there as well. This, I feel, is like the gold standard of social networking. I want to get away from Facebook and, dare I say it, Rob, LinkedIn on all of those kind of things. And I want everything to be more open source. And this just feels like a really nice way of doing it. Mark Westgaard joins us. Yeah, just right, Mark, with 1 minute to go.
And I want to wave from Facebook too. So there you go. I'm in that mode. So
I just think it's such a nice idea. You know, back in the day before, like when Facebook came out, I had this real like warm and fuzzy feeling about it. It did genuinely feel like, oh, yeah, look, you can post stuff here and look, all my mates see it. And I didn't do anything. They just saw it because they clicked a like button or, you know, or they became my friends or whatever. And then obviously we saw how that worked out and we saw that the way that that got, you know, kind of hijacked and it became like a money-making exercise. And listen, I'm not going to get into the politics, but it does appear that, you know, you can have problems with politics and elections and things like that as well. So it just feels a bit icky on the social network side of things. But the idea of owning your own data and everything being movable. So if, you know, if your instance shuts down, you can just take your followers and go somewhere else. And I don't know, it just feels nice. And the idea of being able to do it and your website is literally an account on the Fediverse. Even that is hard to understand. Like, how can a website be a member of a social network? And it's not like it's cross-posting. So it's not like, you know, you click a button, publish a post, and then it goes to Facebook. No. It is the post. The post is the thing that goes on the social network. It's pretty hard to get your head around because of the what we've got at the moment. But yeah, really interesting. So go and check it out. Matthias Pfeffele, he built the ActivityPub plugin, and then I'm guessing Matt caught sight of it and said, come and work for Automattic and work on this full time so that we can make that happen. So yeah, really nice. Really, really nice.
Just a detail about GatherPress. An upcoming feature is that the event will be also federated for the Fediverse.
Oh, nice. So are you using Matthias's plugin, the ActivityPub plugin?
I don't know how the dev do it.
Yeah, I would imagine you are, but maybe.
I'm here for community engagement and everything that is not code. So
yeah.
But yes, I guess it's working with the ActivityPub, which is a protocol, if I'm not mistaken, that is all over the Fediverse, not only Mastodon, also other things. And ActivityPub actually, makes that your site, ActivityPub plugin by Matthias Pfeffele, is that your site is on the Fediverse.
Yeah, your site is an account. And if you post something, it goes on as a thing, you know, and then, and it's just so cool when you see that somebody who's never visited your website has posted a comment on your website, but they've never been there. They don't even know it exists. They've just followed you on this social network. And then suddenly their comments are appearing in your comments. And when you reply, they still don't need to go to your website because it's appeared as a reply in their social network of choice. And like you say, it's not limited to Mastodon. There's Pixel Fed and a whole bunch of other ones as well. And they're just using this protocol to send information backwards and forwards. Yeah. And that's so neat. But
and Matthias has been very helpful on the support forum of the plugin because I had some specific setup, you know, with my multi-site and stuff. So he has been very helpful as well. And he replies and wonderful. I love that. I love Activity.
And Lawrence has asked if Etch is on the agenda, the biggest news story in the WordPress ecosystem in the last 20 years. It's not because I don't know anything about it, Lawrence. Do you? Do you know anything about it other than that it's the biggest thing? Once you know, let me know and we'll be able to feature it. I think that's it. We basically reached an hour and a half. We've got like 1 minute to go. So all that it remains for me to do is to eat this chocolate biscuit. No, Rob's got the idea. It's the slightly humiliating hand-waving gesture. Let me see if I can get everybody back. Are you all ready? Are you all ready to give us your hands? Let's do it. I know it's horrible, but I love it. I love it. There we go. I think we're about everybody. Thank you so much to my three guests. Thank you for Cathy joining us today and for Rob and for Patricia. Really appreciate it. I'm going to be taking a couple of weeks off.
driving to the US.
Yeah, I'm getting on a plane on Sunday, so the show can't happen because I'll be on it. You know, that'd be interesting, trying to do it on a plane. Marcus Burnett joined us once from a plane. Not on the show. He was doing the comments, but he was actually on a plane, which I just thought was like voodoo. How the heck? But yeah, I'm going to be taking a couple of weeks off from this show because I'm going to be going to WordCamp US. If you're there and you see me, I'd love to have a chat. I'm quite good at talking, it turns out. So come and say hi. Don't be a stranger. I'd love to catch up with as many of you as is humanly possible. That would be lovely. Just quick straw poll. Rob, are you going?
No, I'm not. No. I have a...
Kathy?
I will be there.
Yay! All right, well, I'll definitely try and find you. And Patricia, are you going as well? No. Okay, so Kathy.
You will see me at WordCamp Europe, obviously, in June.
Yeah, I have a meeting with your name on it, Kathy. That'd be really nice. But we'll see you in a week or so, and we'll be back in 3 weeks' time, so 2 weeks off. So everybody, stay safe. I'm going to try and find the button which allows this show to end. Yeah, stay safe. Have a good couple of weeks, and we'll see you next time on This Week in WordPress. Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.